from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What up? What's happening? Live out at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Golf Tournament here on B Mitch and Finley. Lynnell Willingham in the DOC. Rick Doc Walker sitting
in. Yes, sir.
For Brian Mitchell and J.P. Finley, both of which, I believe, are playing in the tournament.
Yep.
I saw J.P. earlier.
So, B. Mitch.
So, before we even get started here, I was saying it last night as we started our pregame coverage. I was going to pay money to see you swing a golf club today. So, if you are prepared, we're right in front of, what is this, hole 18 that we're right in front of here on the course?
Yeah.
And at some point during the afternoon.
That's not going to happen. I have not been cleared.
Oh, you have been cleared.
No, I'm not. I'm not cleared. I'm here to perform as a broadcaster today.
Not as an athlete.
No, not at all.
We'll take you up to 2 o'clock as always. Coming up 1 o'clock, we'll be joined by our pal Mitch Tisler, who'll give us his thoughts on the Commanders preseason finale. And that is where I want to start off. Washington 20-10 winners last night. It's how they will wrap up the preseason. A little bit of the junks this morning. Thought they made some excellent points. The one thing I want to reiterate to fans out there who are caught up in cutdown day, I believe it's 4 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday is when all teams across the National Football League are required to get their roster down to 53. There is going to be a lot of change. There's going to be a lot of turnover between now and Tuesday, and then between Tuesday and then the first practice of Tampa week, we'll also see a ton of change. Doc, watching it last night, I was saying it on the pregame, preseason game number 3 is for the absolute sickos, and we happen to be 2 of the absolute sickos.
Yeah.
I was going in to last night looking at a bunch of different things. I want to start off with some guys who stood out for you. I got to start at the wide receiver position, a roster spot, Doc, that has continued to churn guys in and out at the bottom in terms of receivers 5 and 6. We saw Martavis Bryant score the touchdown last night in the red zone. He had a big block on the Jarrett Wiley touchdown run, or the Michael Wiley, excuse me, touchdown run. I thought in terms of the guys that needed to help themselves out the most to make the roster, he was one of the big impact guys for me.
Yeah, on the surface, all of that looks good, but I think everybody it can be replaced by cuts, and this front office is going to be out plucking better talent.
Yeah.
Because when you're the worst team, one of the worst in the league, you upgrade every day.
Yeah.
And because we have too many smart people in the front office now, so they're going to be, as people with better rosters can't keep people they'd like to keep, we'll be the vultures. We're vultures now. And it's easy to upgrade this roster because you just don't have enough talent.
Yeah, and I think specifically at wide receiver, the position that I was just speaking of, they're going to be looking out across the rest of the NFL on cutdown day to see who they can steal off of someone's roster. But I think receiver, you're probably plucking from somewhere else. I look at corner, whether or not to keep 5 or 6, whatever your sweet spot is. I don't think your 5th or 6th corner.
You haven't identified
right
a one.
Right.
And so, I mean, so that's what I'm saying.
And that may be the bigger problem.
Yeah, you're overshadowing the fact. You sound as if this team was competitive. You had the worst defense in the league.
Well, the worst
you're
NFL
in last place. So as people with better personnel purge their rosters, we're going to be thieves. We're vultures. And you're going to go out and have to coach people up quickly. And if you think people not playing in the preseason, watch how quickly you're going to flip people now. And you got to get people that are high IQ guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now you got to learn all this now within days. Not weeks, but in days.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how Washington continues to turn this roster around. I feel as if, and you hit it right on the head, I mean, you won 4 games last year. So you're not supposed to be very good. I am doing my best to try and temper my optimism, my expectations. First of all, non-roster stuff here for a second. I know this is a part of the category that you probably don't care anything about.
The black
uniforms last night. And seeing Jaden Daniels in the black uniform for the first time.
Yeah.
Chris was complaining in the studio. I don't think you're able to buy a black Jaden Daniels jersey right now on the Commanders website. But seeing him in uniform, although he did not play, was a reminder of why I am so optimistic about what this group is going to be moving forward. I know the group that you care a lot about, the offensive line.
Well, I didn't even identify with. I mean, I'm looking at the boys that hit me up. When I see them on the field, uh-huh. I don't identify with them. I don't know who they are. The black uniform has nothing for me because there's no history to it whatsoever. You're trying to be something you're not. Who are you trying to be?
So you're not a fan of the black uniform?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, because it's not burgundy and gold. See, for a lot of people around here, we have an identity. You know what I mean? And I'm insulted by the fact that people that come in here and think they're going to – like we're homeless. Like we're an expansion team. We're not an expansion team. I'm sorry to have to tell you that.
Yeah.
We have a history. It's a rich history. We have a tradition. And we have colors. They're burgundy and gold.
We do. And I feel like Doc, you are wearing a black Commander shirt. By the way, I just want to point that out to you. I'm just saying, just for the folks that aren't.
No, I'm not mad at the color black. It's just what I'm saying. I said I didn't identify to it.
That's fine.
But if they wear purple. Yeah. And when I'm wearing purple with them.
Speaking of uniform, all things non-football related, we will hear from the managing partner of the Washington Commanders, Josh Harris, coming up at about 11 o'clock. He spoke yesterday to a contingent of the local media and had some pretty damning quotes coming out of that are going to get a lot of you excited in terms of future stadium plans, future name plans, and all of the above. Seeing all the pictures last night of the beat writers and all the folks covering the game that were out at the stadium for the first time here in 2024 and seeing the food and the renovations that were made. I want to give Josh Harris and company their credit right there.
Yeah.
$75 million, I believe, invested into that stadium. So they understand.
They're trying. They're not playing.
They understand they're going to be here for a while.
I know that privately they've got to be saying, I cannot believe it's worse than we could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
But they have dug in, and they're fighting back.
Yeah.
And I thought there's the energy. No matter the crowd size, it's not the size of the dog. It's the size of the heart within the dog. And so this region is on fire. It's just waiting to explode.
I feel it.
You know, and so that's a good sign. But be cautious. This is not overnight. This is not instant oatmeal.
You're right. Doesn't happen overnight. Final preseason game last night, and we're taking your calls if you got them at 1-800-636-1067. Who stood out and then who hurt themselves? Continuing guys that I thought helped themselves last night, I look at Michael Wiley, the rookie back out of University of Arizona. I think he's got a real opportunity to make this team as a third running back. I was kind of out on last year's seventh-round pick, Chris Rodriguez, in terms of his opportunity to make this 53. But one thing that Chris Rodriguez hasn't really shown that he could do that he showed last night was catching the football. He was Washington's leading receiver last night, ironically enough. So in terms of a guy that needed to put some good stuff on tape, I thought, you know, he really helped himself out. I want to mention the offensive line, though, because – let's just be real about what New England is at this point. This is not your aunt and uncle's New England Patriots. This is not the Patriots that have dominated the 2000s. They're looking at us all of a sudden like, wow, this is what it's been like to not have a quarterback, to have a head coach in Gerard Mayo, who you have honestly probably no confidence in right now based on the decision-making and then the jargon he's giving you at the podium playing this game as to whether or not, you know, Drake May is going to be the starter or not. And if you watch any of last night, very clear, right, who the best quarterback on New England's roster is. It's got to be Drake May. But
why does it have to be Drake May?
I mean, we saw Jacoby Brissett last year for 17 weeks, Doc.
Confident. Every time you saw him in there, he was better than the guy trying to force in. They were forcing a square peg in a round hole. You better be glad they didn't play Jacoby. You wouldn't have Jaden Daniels. That was a con job and a fake injury.
But no,
you're better than that.
Obviously, it is probably the best thing for the organization that Jacoby didn't finish out last year.
This ownership group took a bullet for the organization. They bit the nail. I could have never done that. They did. That's why they're good at it. They're good at it, and that's why you have hope now. You have hope. And I'm telling you, these kids, they played hard. You were going against, and who did they play? New England played a guy they wanted to see his development.
Yeah.
And they played him, and he showed up. Now, that's what you want to see.
I mean, he showed he's more than developed.
He's better than they thought, than a lot of people thought.
Give him credit for that. It feels like, to me, going back to what I was saying originally, now that it's like we've been, and the best analogy I can use, is when you got somebody new to move to the hood, right? That's how New England feels now, being on our level, basically starting from ground zero. The last couple of years of the Belichick era was a struggle as well. But looking at where they are, good opportunity for your defense last night to go up against offensive starters. I thought there were a couple of guys that stood out on the defensive side of the football as well. We'll get to the offensive line. I know you want to get to that, but a couple of big boys up front that
I
thought.
Wait a minute, why do you mean you know I want to get to that?
We need to get to it.
You act like you and that rooster character.
Well, that is your specialty.
You act like I'm the only guy that's into protection, you know what I mean, and us being sound and winning. And you guys want to go to a carnival and get cotton candy.
Look,
drink root beer.
I heard what you said on the Command Center podcast. I loved your line calling them the Fab Five.
Fab Five.
That's what they are. I thought
that's what they have to become.
Well, yeah.
You saw New England. Their center was out, and they were terrible at one spot. One guy can wreck it for the five.
Well, they're off. They're starting five.
They were terrible.
Isn't a good group at all, which is why I was impressed.
They couldn't even line up. That's the importance of it, and it threw everything off.
And I think that's, to me, why I was so impressed with some of the guys on Washington's defensive front. My guy, Montez Sweat clone, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, 90, super disruptive all night long, had a couple of tackles for loss.
Yeah.
I thought John Ridgeway did a really nice job. There's one play, Doc.
He competed.
Ridgeway beats the double team and makes the TFL. Shout out to Coach Tapp and company. See, I always say this about a defensive line group. Mm-hmm. You are as good as the worst guy in your rotation. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to be an elite pass rush in today's National Football League, I understand you got your Micah Parsons and you have your Myles Garrett's across the league. But I think with what Washington has, the depth is going to be just as important as the guys that start. And on the interior, talking about John Ridgeway, I thought Phil Mathis stood out and made a couple of plays, but for them to get to go up against a starting offensive line, I thought was good, and it probably makes it a little bit more difficult to keep all of these guys in terms of trying to sneak some guys onto the practice squad. We are going to go through or attempt to go through a 53-man roster projection as the show rolls on here this afternoon. But looking at the defensive line in particular, I mentioned John Ridgeway, I thought stood out. Thought Phil Mathis had a couple of standout plays. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, I thought was pretty good as well. Mm-hmm. KJ Henry, I'm really excited about KJ Henry.
Competing.
And the thing I like about KJ, Doc, he's playing snaps inside, getting some looks at three tech, lining up that outside shade of the guard, and he's making plays on the edge as a
He's got a I love his nasty attitude. He's got the perfect demeanor for a program that's digging itself out of the garbage can. That's what I love about him. I think him and Joe Witt Jr., it's a perfect match.
For sure. And then him coming from a Clemson program where he hadn't lose much. Last year was probably torture for the young man. So to see him flash and stand out the way that he did was awesome. Wanted to see a little bit more out of Jamin Davis. He flashed at times. But the thing that kind of stood out a little bit last night, The issue and concern I have about him, let's just get this out of the way first. No chance in hell he does not make the final 53. Let's get that out of the way. I know that's been one of the sexy local topics is his roster status. They clearly like this young man. I heard from a birdie, for all of you that are questioning the transition to defensive end, he's been meeting with the linebackers during camp. So he's up to speed, I would think, at both spots. But the issue and concern I have with him is the issue and concern I had with Washington's ends last year post-trade deadline, after you shipped off and exiled Montez Sweat and Chase Young away, they couldn't set the edge to save their life.
No.
I wonder if his body is physically mature enough to be able to withstand snaps on the edge and then be able to set a good edge, because that's huge when it talks about the integrity of your run defense.
Yeah, he's learning that speed. There's always a spot for speed.
Yeah.
And couldn't realize why the other group of imposters didn't utilize his athleticism.
Yeah,
you know, with the kid in Dallas that wears 11, he's just relentless. It's just it's his pursuit. And how do you find a spot for that?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I expect DQ to utilize.
Yeah, I think, and I said it during camp for my football nerds out there that understand stunts and games and twists and things of that nature. The one area that I think he can really help them as is like a looper when they're running their stunts and stuff, using the speed, using the athleticism. But I don't think there's any question that he's going to make this final 53-man roster. Hearing Joe Witt talk about him at the tail end of last week, you know, gave me all the confidence I need. They're happy with his growth and his development, and they understand that it's not going to be a one-week thing, a two-week thing, an eight-week thing. This is going to be a 17-week process for him in terms of trying to ingratiate himself as a true defensive end in the National Football League. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP and at Rick Doc Walker on Twitter. We're sitting
They already know. And I'm not on Twitter. I'm on X.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Is that what the grown folks call it? Do they call it the X?
No, it's.
I'm still on Twitter.
Because you still stuck on ignorance. If they change the name of something and you keep using something that no longer exists, what does that make you?
It makes me old school. You should
know.
It
makes you out of style.
You should know.
Yeah.
Mister, I don't like the black uniform. That may be the craziest damn thing I've heard you say here in the last. We've been around each other for
an
hour.
You asked me a question. Did I like it?
You're wearing a black shirt.
I love black as a color. But I said my team is burgundy and gold.
It's burgundy and gold on the W, Doc.
No, but that's okay.
That's okay.
They can do whatever they want to do.
Washington.
Just get out of last place.
Washington.
You're wearing polka dots, and I'll wear polka dots.
Washington finished off the preseason on a high note with a 20-10 victory over the New England Patriots. Taking your calls on who stood out and who hurt themselves in yesterday's preseason finale. Coming up at 11, we'll let you hear from the managing partner of the Washington Commanders, Josh Harris. He had some pretty interesting info on the stadium and a potential name change. Your calls, plus who me and Doc thought hurt themselves last night. Next, they're on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
B. Mitch and Finley here with you on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, as we're out here live on location at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Scramble Golf Tournament. A couple of big-time names playing in this, including some guy named Mitchell, Brian, and Finley, JP, our own, playing in this. We'll see if the fellas stop by here throughout the program. Doc, we were talking about it. The preseason finale last night for the Washington Commanders. A lot of guys stood out. A lot of guys helped themselves. Washington ultimately 20-10 winners, their first win in the Dan Quinn era. Do we get to say that? And I know it's just preseason, but technically we got our first win in the books for the Dan Quinn era. A lot of work to do, though, between now and 4 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, when all rosters across the National Football League have to be trimmed down to 53. We were talking about it in the open, Doc. Based on where this team is and the way that they looked last night and how many open jobs there are, that's just not from my vantage point. The head coach said that before the game and last week. You talked about poaching other teams' rosters. The Jets, with Robert Saleh, they understand that their edge rusher spot, they're a team that's going to get poached. They've got a bevy of different guys on the edge that can help folks. I'm ready for us to be the team that people want to poach from, and I think this is the first year of trying to get yourself to become that. We talked about some guys that stood out. This is always the most painful part because, and I didn't mean to sound cruel last night when I said it. I said it like this. Look, guys going into this have to give it everything you got, because if you don't, you could be flipping burgers this time next week. That's just the reality of the situation. But in terms of some guys that hurt themselves, I look at the tight end spot, and I know you know a little bit about the tight end position. Cole Turner, to me, the fact that they dressed him told me everything I needed to know. He's worked with the ones during camp. He's worked with the twos during camp. Mm-hmm. He's worked with the threes. He had a couple of drops in this one. It's in some really untimely spots, but then he also had the big 25-yard gain late in the game. Based off of what you saw from him last night, best gut feel on whether or not he makes this roster or not?
Well, it doesn't look good for him based on how others have stepped up. Bates, to me, is a sledgehammer. I know he can help me on the edge and catch it. We've got two other locks. When the infant comes in and is better than all of them,
yeah,
that's that. What you're looking for is a prize bull, somebody we can count on. We thought it was Turner. It's just too much speculation. And at this point now, results are all that matter. And the good news is that you've got at least three guys I think you can win with.
Yeah, talking about the rookie Ben Sinnott out of K-State.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Zach Ertz, the veteran who, to the surprise of many, is going to be featured early and often in this Washington Commanders offense during the regular season. And then I heard you dub him this first, so I give you your credit. The best run-blocking tight end in the National Football League, John Bates, I think is going to be huge for this group as well. The one thing that I look at tight end and why I do ultimately think Cole makes this team, I think they want to keep four. Now, whether they think they can go out and poach someone from someone else's roster that's better than Cole Turner is the question that I think now remains for Cliff Kingsbury and company. But with all of the 12 and 13 personnel that we've seen during camp and the three preseason games, tight end clearly a position they've got some emphasis on. And I think when you're trying to establish who you are identity-wise, I think the tight end position is going to be huge for that, especially when you've got a young quarterback. I said I wanted to put it on a T-shirt, Doc. I think it's going to be exotic smash-mouth football in terms of what Cliff Kingsbury and company are going to show during the regular season. Going into last night, Colson Yankoff, Cole Turner, the two dudes that I was looking at, I don't know if either of them did enough to help themselves make this roster.
Well, one thing I do agree with in what you said, and I've heard you in it with the Rooster, the personality of this team, when you start hearing a staff discuss wide receivers blocking.
Yeah, yes.
That's a key indicator that a guy like Turner could end up being, like Clint Didier, a big X, a dual threat,
yeah,
a guy you can go in or out and it's going to help you. They run a lot of hitches, a lot of quick screens, and one block, and you can get somebody free. That's the thing I think they're going to emphasize. The beauty is that we don't know, and that's what Kingsbury has going for him. He's perceived as a gadget guy, but deep down inside, right, you're going to run it.
He has to.
He's got, yeah, and I think he knows with Jaden, because Jaden gets rid of the ball so quick. He's not a liability in the pocket. He's really not, and that run threat, we could flip the script on people if we can just get that Fab Five up front to just avoid the free runner. You don't have to be the greatest, but you cannot do what happened to Jacoby last night, have a free runner, because that gets anybody hurt.
For sure. And I think speaking of this offensive line and the identity of the football team, that's where the numbers game gets interesting to me. We saw a lot of different guys cross-training at guard and tackle, cross-training at center and guard, and it isn't the position flex term that all of you are scoring over from the past several years with Riverboat, or Titanic, as I like to call him. Excuse me.
Yeah, Titanic.
I just think it's going to be real interesting come cutdown day, because we know who we don't know who the starting five is going to be. I think there's an assumption, if we could get Brandon Coleman back, that would ideally be your left tackle. I think in an ideal world, Cornelius Lucas is your right tackle, but we still don't know who the starters are going to be,
right,
which makes projecting these backups and who makes the roster
makes
on the offensive
impossible.
Line that much more difficult. Yes.
Big fella, light on his feet, can play guard or tackle, right or left. So to me, if he was a chip, invest in him.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think he's really helped himself and grown into it. I'm not in a panic over our left side, not at all, because the last group refused to help scheme those guys up and give them help and chips. This group, Kingsbury, they'll do that. You can help protect simply through schemes. They just refused to do it with the last group. And,
well,
again,
yeah,
the quarterback held the ball too damn long.
Well, I think that's going to be the thing. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. It's B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. Linnell Willingham and the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, sitting in for Brian and JP as we're out here live on location at TPC Potomac for the Coaches Against Cancer Scramble Golf Tournament. Doc has promised me that before the end of the show, he will swing a golf club. We've got his answer to change from what he said at the beginning. You told me you're retired for the day, so I'm going to leave you be. I'm going to leave you be.
Well, I can't wait to get cleared, but, I mean, for right now.
It's a waiting game.
It's a waiting game. Yeah, it's a waiting game. Mitch, Finley, and Ricky Irvins, these guys are for real, and they'll be working on shaping their shot. We've got a perfect vantage point
18.
Here. Yeah, it's perfect to see the approach. It's also dangerous.
I'm about to say, yeah, somebody gets a little
somebody
loose.
Get really crazy.
I tried to go get you a water over there. They got a cooler full of beer, so hopefully none of the people playing it have too many of those, or we might be in danger.
Yeah, this could be interesting as the day goes on.
110%. On the heels of Washington's preseason finale, there were 20-10 winners last night over the New England Patriots. Cut down day tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time across the National Football League. All 32 teams must get their roster down to 53 guys. We've talked about who stood out. We've talked about who hurt themselves last night. I want to now look big picture at this roster as we get geared up for the start of the regular season. In terms of a biggest concern and biggest bright spot for this team, in terms of bright spots, I'm looking at this offensive line, and I honestly am stunned that I'm saying this. But I think if we watched last year and knew what the hell we were talking about, it was pretty evident that the offensive line was not as bad as maybe some made it out to be. But the guy under center attributed to some of, you know, their shortcomings a season ago.
Most of it.
I think it's going to be the exact opposite this year. I think Jaden, from what we've seen through about a month of training camp, and two preseason games, one thing that will for damn sure help your offensive line out is, one, the quarterback getting the football out on time. He's shown an ability to do that at a high level for a young cat. And then the big thing, and we talked about it earlier, exotic smash mouth football. I think when you have a threat of a running game, defensive linemen can't just tee off and get into pass rush mode. I love something that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt have said. You've got to earn the right to rush the passer, and I think Washington, because of how unbalanced they were last year offensively, put this offensive line in a tough spot. We were talking about it before the last break. The starters up front are not settled by any stretch of the imagination. I think we know two guys that are locked in as week one starters in Tyler Biadasz, who they brought over from Dallas, and then Sam Cosmi, who should have the Brinks truck backed up to him here coming up pretty soon if Dan Quinn and company know what they're doing. I think at left guard is where I think it gets interesting. They brought in Nick Allegretti from the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't mean to poke fun or be a jerk when I say this. It feels like we have all anointed him the starting left guard based off of a couple of good press conferences that he's had.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty evident that during training camp, he was rotating at that left guard spot. We've seen other guys get an opportunity there as well. I don't know if he ultimately is going to be the week one starter. I would say of the guys that I'm most uncertain about, it would be him. I get coming over from Kansas City, having championship pedigree, but he's never been a full-time starter in this league. And to come into the NFC East and think you're going to be a first-time starter going up against Jalen Carter, going up against Big Davis up in Philly, going up against our guys. I mean, Sexy Dexy out in New York. I mean, they've got interior defensive linemen out the wazoo in this NFC East. So, Biadasz better be ready. I think he ultimately wins the left guard spot. How they line up at tackle is what I think is going to be most interesting. If you're going off of pure athleticism, you're going with Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas as your left and right tackle. Andrew Wiley is going to be in the mix here, we assume.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't practiced a lot in training camp due to tightness, as they've been calling it. But as we get geared up for the regular season, I think my question mark surrounding the offensive line and my concern level is not as high as it was going into camp. Not at all.
No, I was wanted to see how Trent Scott would fare. Could he be coached
up? Well, he's been a damn turnstile.
And that has not looked.
I couldn't believe they had the nerve to not play his ass last night.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible.
That's interesting. And then Wiley is another one where seeing is believing in that. But now I'm so confident now that we can make up some of this, A, by the quarterback, second, by the coordinator, and then the running game. So the question is that, what is your core belief? Are you throwing out of fear or running with confidence? And that's one thing I'm saying. It comes down to the point where we don't have to hide anything. It's still a manhood issue. And until we accept that, then we're running scared. And I just don't believe the staff is built that way. In fact, I know they're not. And they're going to come out, and I saw last night just a level of aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Now, you got to back it up with technique and execution. We're not crazy. But if they avoided injury last night, now you got 2 weeks to move forward and build on something. And you're right, you're right to say it. Wiley Scott, we want to see. I trust Lucas. I am so comfortable with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. So that gives you a little bit of depth on that. But on any day, and then again, who's the opponent?
Right.
And are you playing a one and one percenters? See, that's the difference about this league. It's not every week.
It's not.
But if you play one of them one percenters.
But, Doc, it's seeming like it is all of a sudden. And more come out each and every
you
year.
You better have somebody to counter that or help. Because they'll change the game on you. You know, and that's the thing that we have to guard ourselves against. And you know that Todd Bowles is sitting up there right now.
Gracious.
He's coming. They're
come
coming.
On.
And Jaden and them, he don't have to shake in his boots. But at least Todd now is worried.
About us.
Exactly. For the first time now, he's got to say, oh, shucks. And then we got that threat coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think looking ahead to week one here briefly, I talked about Nick Allegretti and that being the guy that I have circled on this offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, buddy, if this group is going to be good, you can't be the weak link. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about
Chris Paul, I think, is earned. We'll see what happens. But in terms of being able to – I trust him wherever he's at to not be more than just scotch tape.
Yeah.
A guy that can come in there and play. We need a good story.
Yeah.
We need somebody to rise through this opportunity. And he could very well be that guy. He's a big physical freak that's athletic. But we need somebody to step up and take on the challenge.
Yeah, for sure. I am honestly pretty excited about Chris Paul. I think him showing that he could play tackle, which he played a great deal of tackle in college, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the feet to be able to play out there on the perimeter, and I think his play strength at guard is kind of what was his issue. I don't think, although he's built like a mauler, I don't think that's naturally who he is. I think he's more
technique,
of a
yeah.
finesse type of guy, that. Mm-hmm. But once he gets his hands on you,
oh, yeah.
it's like a vice grip.
Yeah,
I think this offensive line – like you mentioned, based off of scheme, based off of the quarterback, is going to be much improved.
Yeah.
But right out the gate, In week one, you've got Vita Vea, who is just a people eater. If you watched what he was able to do against Miami in their preseason finale, literally walking the left guard into the lap of the quarterback. I mean, Tyler Biadasz got to be ready for that. Sam Cosmi got to be ready for that. Week two, you've got arguably right now, to me, maybe the best defensive line in football with Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. So while I am confident about this offensive line, and while I do believe they are the biggest bright spot coming out of the preseason, moving forward, outside of Jaden Daniels, obviously, it's not going to be a cakewalk for them. In terms of what you're most concerned about, Doc, here quickly, what would you say going into the regular season?
Well, it's got to be that until they show us.
Yeah. You think it is the offensive?
Oh, definitely. Until what else would I be concerned about?
Well, I think
I'm not concerned about no receivers. What the hell am I? I'm concerned about protection and security. And then the obvious things, the ball security. We can't help anybody.
Right.
But if they'll play smart and our guys hold up front, now our athletes can come of age. Because that running back room, I'm still in love with it. And I think there's something really unique about Brian Robinson Jr.
Yeah.
And Eckler is as good as anybody in the red zone. He's as good as anybody in football. This dude is really, 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 really good. The West Coast, see, a lot of people here don't get to check up. And the Chargers are one of them teams that, unless you grew up with them, they're under the radar. You're going to see. You're going to really see. Reminds me of what Joe Washington brought to our championship teams. A guy that nobody can – he's like smoke going through a keyhole.
Mm-hmm. Like smoke going through a keyhole.
That's not an original.
That's the chestnut of the day.
That's not an original, though.
For those of you.
One of my favorites that I've heard.
Who are keeping track. 1-800-636-1067 is number. If you want to chime in, we'll take your calls on your biggest concern coming out of the preseason for the Washington Commanders and then the biggest bright spot. Doc gave you his biggest concern. I think mine resides on the other side of the football.
Well, no.
For the first.
I thought we were saying off it. Corner.
Oh, corner, yeah.
Oh, you mean overall for the team? Overall. Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, I think. You and Metal Chris could probably go out there and line up an outside corner.
I mean, corners is
absolutely
ridiculous.
Give us a better chance than what we're currently putting out there.
If that's the best you can do, you might as well go out and just get penalties.
The one saving grace I give to the outside corner spot here, and I want to just go out and put it on record, I'm one of the first to say.
Have you ever said this before?
Oh, of course, 100%.
So you said what you're about to say before.
Here, they're bringing you some water. Go ahead, drink up. The one thing, thank you guys. The one thing that I think may be the saving grace for the outside corner spot. Let's not have any qualms about it, or have any miscalculations. Yes. They don't have two starting outside NFL corners on their roster right now. I genuinely believe that we're in a spot where not really confident in Emmanuel Forbes. I'm not very confident in Mike Davis. I'm not very confident in Benjamin St. Juice. The guy at corner that I think gives us the best shot on the outside is probably Mike Sanders still, but I don't know physically if you want him lining up against Mike Evans, 6'4", in the opener.
Right.
He's better served to be your nickel.
Right.
But the one saving grace I would say here quickly about the outside corner spot is I think this pass rush, and I don't know if it's just going to be one guy. I think it's going to be an assortment of different cats. Mm-hmm. If this pass rush can get home, if they can scheme up pressure with the pen, so to speak, running these games and stunts and twists up front, that may be the saving grace. You mentioned how aggressive they were last night blitzing. I think that also is going to be a part of their identity.
Yeah, finally, as bad as we wanted to see more guys, they were bringing it, and they didn't care if you saw it. And I like that. I just think overall the team functions with a much more aggressive personality.
For sure.
That corpse mortician crap is done.
Yeah, banking on your four first-rounders getting pressure and not scheming anything up. The days of that are long gone. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Lynnell Willingham of the DOC, Rick Doc Walker sitting in for B. Mitch in Findlay as we're out here at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Golf Scramble. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the managing partner of the Washington Commanders, Josh Harris, spoke yesterday and gave some updates on some key items that you all are concerned about, including the stadium, potential name change. That's next here on The Fan.
Ooh. 1-800-636-1067
is the number on the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lines. Speed Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. Lynnell Willingham and the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, sitting in for Brian and JP as we're out here live on location at TPC Potomac for the Coaches Against Cancer Scramble Golf Tournament. Doc has promised me that before the end of the show, he will swing a golf club. We've got his answer to change from what he said at the beginning. You told me you're retired for the day, so I'm going to leave you be. I'm going to leave you deep.
Well, oh, I can't wait to get cleared, but, I mean, for right now.
It's a waiting game.
It's a waiting game. Yeah, it's a waiting game. Mitch, Finley, and Ricky Irvins, these guys are for real, and they'll be working on shaping their shot. We've got a perfect vantage point
18.
Here. Yeah, it's perfect to see the approach. It's also dangerous.
I'm about to say, somebody get really crazy. I tried to go get you a water over there. They got a cooler full of beer, so hopefully none of the people playing it have too many of those, or we might be in danger.
Yeah, this could be interesting as the day goes on.
110%. On the heels of Washington's preseason finale, there were 20-10 winners last night over the New England Patriots. Cut down day tomorrow at 4 o'clock. P.M. Eastern time across the National Football League. All 32 teams must get their roster down to 53 guys. We've talked about who stood out. We've talked about who hurt themselves last night. I want to now look big picture at this roster as we get geared up for the start of the regular season. In terms of a biggest concern and biggest bright spot for this team, in terms of bright spots, I'm looking at this offensive line, and I honestly am stunned that I'm saying this, but I think if we watched last year and knew what the hell we were talking about, it was pretty evident that the offensive line was not as bad as maybe some made it out to be, but the guy under center attributed to some of, you know, their shortcomings a season ago.
Most of it.
I think it's going to be the exact opposite this year. I think Jaden, from what we've seen through about a month of training camp and two preseason games, one thing that will for damn sure help your offensive line out is, one, the quarterback getting the football out on time. He's shown an ability to do that at a high level for a young cat. And then the big thing, and we talked about it earlier, exotic smash-mouth football. I think when you have a threat of a running game, defensive linemen can't just tee off and get into pass rush mode. I love something that Dan Quinn and Joe Whitt have said. You've got to earn the right to rush the passer, and I think Washington, because of how unbalanced they were last year offensively, put this offensive line in a tough spot. We were talking about it before the last break. The starters up front are not settled by any stretch of the imagination. I think we know two guys that are locked in as week one starters in Tyler Biadasz, who they brought over from Dallas, and then Sam Cosmi, who should have the Brinks truck backed up to him here coming up pretty soon if Dan Quinn and company know what they're doing. I think at left guard is where I think it gets interesting. They brought in Nick Allegretti from the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't mean to poke fun or be a jerk when I say this. It feels like we have all anointed him the starting left guard based off of a couple of good press conferences that he's had. I think it's pretty evident that during training camp he was rotating at that left guard spot. We've seen other guys get an opportunity there as well. I don't know if he ultimately is going to be the week one starter. I would say of the guys that I'm most uncertain about, it would be him. I get coming over from Kansas City having championship pedigree, but he's never been a full-time starter in this league. And to come into the NFC East and think you're going to be a first-time starter going up against Jalen Carter, going up against Big Davis up in Philly, going up against our guys. I mean, Sexy Dexy out in New York. I mean, they've got interior defensive linemen out the wazoo in this NFC East. So Biadasz better be ready. I think he ultimately wins the left guard spot. How they line up at tackle is what I think is going to be most interesting. If you're going off of pure athleticism, you're going with Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas as your left and right tackle. Andrew Wiley is going to be in the mix here, we assume. Mm-hmm. Hadn't practiced a lot in training camp due to tightness, as they've been calling it. But as we get geared up for the regular season, I think my question mark surrounding the offensive line and my concern level is not as high as it was going into camp. Not at all.
No, I was wanted to see how Trent Scott would fare. Could he be coached
up? Well,
he's
been a damn turnstile.
And that has not looked.
I couldn't believe they had the nerve to not play his ass last night.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible.
That's interesting. And then Wiley is another one where seeing is believing in that. But now I'm so confident now that we can make up some of this, A, by the quarterback, second by the coordinator, and then the running game. So the question is that, what is your core belief? Are you throwing out of fear or running with confidence? And that's one thing I'm saying. It comes down to the point where we don't have to hide anything. It's still a manhood issue. And until we accept that, then we're running scared. And I just don't believe the staff is built that way. In fact, I know they're not. And they're going to come out, and I saw last night just a level of aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Now, you got to back it up with technique and execution. We're not crazy. But if they avoided injury last night, now you got 2 weeks to move forward and build on something. And you're right, you're right to say it. Wiley Scott, we want to see. I trust Lucas. I am so comfortable with him.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. So that gives you a little bit of depth on that. But on any day, and then again, who's the opponent?
Right.
And are you playing a one and one percenters? See, that's the difference about this league. It's not every week.
It's not.
But if you playing one and one percenters.
But, Doc, it's seeming like it is all of a sudden. And more come out each and every
you
year.
You better have somebody to counter that or help. Because they'll change the game on you, you know. And that's the thing that we have to guard ourselves against. And you know that Todd Bowles is sitting up there right now.
Gracious.
He's coming. They're
come
coming.
On.
And Jaden and them, he don't have to shake in his boots. But at least Todd now is worried.
About us.
About, yeah.
Exactly.
For the first time now, he's got to say, oh, shucks. And then we got that threat coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think looking ahead to week one here briefly, I talked about Nick Allegretti and that being the guy that I have circled on this offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, buddy, if this group is going to be good, you can't be the weak link. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about
Chris Paul, I think, is earned. We'll see what happens. But in terms of being able to, I trust him wherever he's at to not to be more than just scotch tape.
Yeah.
A guy that can come in there and play. We need a good story.
Yeah.
We need somebody to rise through this opportunity. And he could very well be that guy. He's a big physical freak that's athletic. But we need somebody to step up and take on the challenge.
Yeah, for sure. I am honestly pretty excited about Chris Paul. I think him showing that he could play tackle, which he played a great deal of tackle in college, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the feet to be able to play out there on the perimeter, and I think his play strength at guard is kind of what was his issue. I don't think, although he's built like a mauler, I don't think that's naturally who he is. I think he's
more
of
technique,
a finesse type of guy, that. But once he gets his hands on you, it's like a vice grip.
Yeah.
I think this offensive line, like you mentioned, based off of scheme, based off of the quarterback, is going to be much improved.
Yeah.
But right out the gate, in week one, you've got Vita Vea, who is just a people eater. If you watched what he was able to do against Miami in their preseason finale, literally walking the left guard into the lap of the quarterback. I mean, Tyler Biadasz got to be ready for that. Sam Cosmi got to be ready for that. Week two, you've got arguably – right now, to me, maybe the best defensive line in football with Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. So while I am confident about this offensive line, and while I do believe they are the biggest bright spot coming out of the preseason, moving forward outside of Jaden Daniels, obviously, it's not going to be a cakewalk for them. In terms of what you're most concerned about, Doc, here quickly, what would you say going into the regular season?
Well, it's got to be that until they show us.
Yeah. So you think it is the offensive
line? Oh, definitely. Until what else would I be concerned about?
Well, I think
I'm not concerned about no receivers. What the hell am I? I'm concerned about protection and security, and then the obvious things, the ball security. We can't help anybody,
right?
But if they'll play smart, and our guys hold up front, now our athletes can come of age. Because that running back room, I'm still in love with it. And I think there's something really unique about Brian Robinson Jr.
Yeah.
And Eckler is as good as anybody in the red zone. He's as good as anybody in football. This dude is really, 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 really good. The West Coast, see, a lot of people here don't get to check up. And the Chargers are one of them teams that unless you grew up with them, yeah, they're under the radar. You're going to see. You're going to really see. Reminds me of what Joe Washington brought to our championship teams. A guy that nobody can – he's like smoke going through a keyhole.
Mm-hmm. Like smoke going through a keyhole.
That's not an original.
That's the chestnut of the day.
That's not an original, though.
For those of you.
One of my favorites that I've heard.
Who are keeping track. 1-800-636-1067 is number. If you want to chime in, we'll take your calls on your biggest concern coming out of the preseason for the Washington Commanders and then the biggest bright spot. Doc gave you his biggest concern. I think mine resides on the other side of the football.
Well, no.
For the first,
I thought we were saying offense. Corner.
Oh, corner, yeah.
Oh, you mean overall for the team? Overall. Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, I think you and Metal Chris could probably go out there and line up an outside corner.
I mean, corners is
absolutely
ridiculous.
Give us a better
ridiculous chance
than what we're currently putting out there.
If that's the best you can do, you might as well go out and just get penalties.
The one saving grace I give to the outside corner spot here, and I want to just go out and put it on record. I'm one of the first to say
that. Wait a minute, have you ever said this before?
Oh, of course, 100%.
So you said what you're about to say before.
Here, they're bringing you some water. Go ahead, drink up. The one thing, thank you guys. The one thing that I think may be the saving grace for the outside corner spot. Let's not have any qualms about it.
Or have any miscalculations.
They don't have two starting outside NFL corners on their roster right now. I genuinely believe that we're in a spot where. Not really confident in Emmanuel Forbes. I'm not very confident in Mike Davis. I'm not very confident in Benjamin St. Juice. The guy at corner that I think gives us the best shot on the outside is probably Mike Sanders still, but I don't know physically if you want him lining up against Mike Evans, 6'4", in the opener.
Right.
He's better served to be your nickel.
Right.
But the one saving grace I would say here quickly about the outside corner spot is I think this pass rush, and I don't know if it's just going to be one guy. I think it's going to be an assortment of different cats. Mm-hmm. If this pass rush can get home, if they can scheme up pressure with the pen, so to speak, running these games and stunts and twists up front, that may be the saving grace. You mentioned how aggressive they were last night blitzing. I think that also is going to be a part of their identity.
Yeah, finally, as bad as we wanted to see more guys, they were bringing it, and they didn't care if you saw it. And I like that. I just think overall the team functions – with a much more aggressive personality.
For sure.
That corpse mortician crap is done. Yeah.
Yeah, banking on your four first-rounders getting pressure and not scheming anything up. The days of that are long gone. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Lynnell Willingham of the DOC, Rick Doc Walker sitting in for B. Mitch in Finley as we're out here at TPC Potomac for the Contractors Against Cancer Golf Scramble. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the managing partner of the Washington Commanders, Josh Harris, spoke yesterday and gave some updates on some key items that you all are concerned about, including the stadium, potential name change. That's next here on The Fan.
Ooh.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.